My daddy wants you to know a lot of the episodes have mostly clean language, but this episode has some words in it that aren't meant for all ages. So, if you have kids like me in your house, you may want to put some headphones on for this one. You've been warned. Done, done, done.
Go on.
Okay, so kind of a rough transition here. I apologize for that. We just kind of went on talking, and then we just kind of zoomed right into our Fork in the Road episode. But this is going to be the Fork in the Road episode with Jose Rosado. And we just kind of didn't really nail down a specific topic to fork onto. And so this kind of a more wavy gravy kind of episode. But there are some good little nuggets in here, and we get into some interesting topics. So I hope you enjoy this little fork in the road between myself and Jose. And here it is. All right, so this is the official fork in the road from Jose Rosado's podcast. We didn't, in the actual episode...
It was fucking fire. You guys have to check that out.
Which was amazing. We never said where we are. So right now you are in Santa Monica for 2 days, basically.
Oh, we're just killing it. Like real pros, man.
Yeah. I think with you, kind of the funny thing as I've been thinking about this is you and I have a lot of similarities. There's a lot of things, even
we're both tattooed,
as we were
both
talking.
Both like hats, both wear glasses.
Yes.
Not right now, but I do.
We both normally have beards. Yeah. But I shaved mine off for the beginning of the baseball season.
Got a little baby beard now.
It's full. It's just not as big as it normally is.
Right. I look like Gandalf.
Yeah. We both come from photography. Mm-hmm. I used to do a lot of writing.
Nice.
And you write.
Mm-hmm.
We both, I think, are fairly, like I said in the episode, I think we are fairly plate spinnery types because I have a bunch of different things going on. Right. And I always have a hard time finding that balance of, you know, keeping my focus on the correct one. And I think there is something to having all of the different things going on at once because you never know what's going to going to hit you, what's going to...
Right, and that was my thing. Like, my old job, I was a digital project manager for 4 years for a New York company, and I basically managed six-figure campaigns for, like, you know, blue-chip companies.
Wow.
Like, you know, Best Buy, you know, Qdoba, Virgin Mobile, anyone you can think of, you know, Budweiser. And it, because I worked remotely and they knew when I went on, I was a freelancer, right? But I worked like, you know, I worked, it was a full-time job.
Yeah.
And I got paid a nice salary, but in the beginning, especially they knew, like, oh, I'm still a photographer. I'm going to shoot, like, you know, I'm going to give you guys, you know, 40 hours a week, but there may be times where I'm just going to, you know, do my own thing, whatever. Yeah. And they were cool with it. And to a point, because then I was traveling all the time shooting for a race team and I was going all over the country and going to Canada, but because I had my laptop and an internet, I could still work.
Yeah.
And but there were times when I'd be at a track and it'd be loud and I'd be on a Skype call and they, you know, the signal would cut out and they're kind of like, all right, what the fuck are you doing, man? I had that, you know, people, I loved ones, family, whatever, being like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, you have this job and you're off, you know, playing photographer with this race team because my buddy was a driver and I'd known him for years. And I said, you know, because, you know, I'm always going to do it and I needed something because in the beginning it was a nice change. Like, for me, it was great to get a steady paycheck and be able to buy things and be checking your fucking bank account while your friends are ordering appetizers, wondering if you can eat or not.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it, but then it, you know, I'm a very creative person. So then I had the itch again, you know, after like a year in, I was like, I want to keep shooting and do more stuff. And, I was helping my buddy with his race team with social media stuff and we did some short films for him and then I was doing the photography thing. because I'd done that for years prior with him. And it was that kind of gut check because I started fucking up at work and they were like, look, dude, like, you know, what you got to kind of pick. And I'm like, yeah. I really though? Because I was
sitting
there, because I would sit there and go, do you want someone who just punches a clock and comes in every day and fucking just logs off at 4:55 p.m. and that's it? Or do you want someone who's like always got something going on and is always kind of trying to better myself and a self-starter and a focused person? Don't get me wrong. I always told them, and it was true. They were always my top priority.
Yeah.
They were, because that was paying my rent and my everything else. And I really did enjoy the job.
Yeah.
So that was what it was. And then last year I got laid off because we went public 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you go public, the rules change and all that kind of stuff. So we didn't hit our numbers for the first two quarters and they had layoffs and I got laid off. And that sucked, you know. That was tough because now at that point I moved to the suburbs and I'm living with Jess and the kids and it was, oh, well now it's not just you anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was hard for me because before I'd do whatever I had to.
Mm-hmm.
I'd sublet my apartment, I'd rent a room with a buddy, I'd take a part-time job and shoot full time and all the stuff. And I couldn't do that anymore. Now it wasn't, you couldn't downsize your life. Now you have to fucking maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maintained with two kids, with each with their own room, with a 3-bedroom house in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And you know, it forced me in the beginning to just try and look for another full-time job. Like the similar thing I was doing. And I tried to do that for about 7.5 months straight. Mm-hmm. And it was fucking hard. I was banging my head against the wall.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, let me see. I have an MBA. I have, you know, a bachelor's degree. I have, you know, great 4 years experience, this job, you know, great letters of recommendation. And I couldn't find work at $20,000 pay cuts. I'm going like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And it was starting to really affect my confidence and really affect my personality. You know, I was being short with Justin the kids and punching holes in my fucking door. And I'm like, this isn't me.
Yeah.
So at that time, I sat my parents down. I sat Jess down. I said, you know, I'm going to like need you guys to work with me here and give me a month. Give me a month. I'm going to do my own thing because I have to go back to doing shit on my own because this other shit ain't working.
Yeah.
And I'm trying. They all see me trying.
Right.
So we took a month and then that was a time when I started writing more and 2 weeks into blogging more because in my head I was going to go back to shooting full time. So I had to keep blogging. So in 2 weeks into blogging, I get a offer to be a staff writer for F-Stoppers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, shit, that's more, you know, and F-Stoppers is one of the largest, you know, photo websites on the internet. And
and
at the time I was like, that's more progress in 2 weeks than I made in 7 months.
Yeah,
so I got to keep going.
Yeah.
So at the time I had the idea for the podcast and it was just, you know, I was still teaching at the time. Again, it started becoming the spinning plates again.
Right.
And a lot of it was at least related and all of it was creative. So in that sense, I was happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the writing kept spitballing from there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd go to different events in New York and all these places just to network. And then, you know, they'd see I write for this company. Oh, well, you should come write for us. And I'm like, sure. And just you know, kept upping the ante. And, you know, most recently we went to WPPI in Vegas, and that was fucking scary because we launched the show at PPE in New York. And when we did that, it was a, you know, big risk, you know.
Yeah.
Luckily, monetarily not too much. My parents were up there, we just stayed with them. But it was a risk in the sense of like putting yourself out there, you know.
Right.
And we launched a show there, and it was, we had such a huge reception there that it was overwhelming, quite honestly.
Really?
Yeah, like every person you bump into who's like the Rolling Stones of photography is like, oh yeah, sure, I'll do it. Have you met so-and-so who like is all over TV and travels the world? Yeah, I know who they are.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll introduce you to them. And that's how easy it was. I'm going, holy fuck, like this can't be serious. And I quickly realized when you think about it, and you probably get it from your show, it's a pretty easy sell to tell people, do you want to talk about yourself for an hour and plug all the stuff you're doing and plug all your products and your services and your company? So in that sense, it was pretty easy. And then this was in the fall of last year. And that was like, all right, we're all in. Like that to me was like, all I need to know, fuck it. It's 110%. I'm going to go balls of the wall. Give me until the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the end of the year came and, you know, we had all these great things, all these great people on, and it was, and all this promise. And we all sat down again and I said, all right, well, I still haven't looked for a job.
Yeah.
You know, like, I still want to keep going, but I'll respect your guys' wishes. I don't want to piss everyone off my family. And they were like, all right, let's give it till the end of summer, you know, or till summer. So six months, you know? And I was like, all right, cool. I'm doing my thing. Don't worry about it. You know? So that's where we're at now. And, you know, what's interesting is I've had I don't know, it's hard to say, but I've even had some job offers.
Yeah.
But they're either in New York or LA and I can't move.
Right.
So there's that. That's tough, you know, to say like, oh, that sounds great. That would be a great opportunity and it would be a great fit. But with Jess and the kids and all that stuff, we can't move.
Yeah.
So that's been tough. But at the same time, it is just, at the very least, it is an affirmation to what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, that people are seeing what I'm doing and seeing the hustle and seeing the fact that in the beginning, and especially now, not making money, not making money. We're bringing in money. We're not making money. So, and still doing it to the point where, I feel good that it's going to really start coming home. And it started again, showing that promise like we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. So your other interests that we have in common,
mm-hmm.
let's see, sports.
Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. I like
caricatures.
I love football. That's my main thing.
Right.
I also like baseball. I play baseball in a men's league in Baltimore. And that's draining to realize you're no longer a college kid.
Yeah, yeah.
and there's guys, it's a 30 plus league and there's a 40 plus league. And they say, if you go through a whole season without barring any major like injuries, that was a good season.
Yeah.
So that's what we try and do. We just try and not hurt ourselves.
Right. So you're an Eagles fan.
Yes, sir.
And you have converted Jessica.
I don't think she ever was really a Ravens fan, though.
She pretended for a while.
Wait, she also pretended to be a Steelers fan for like a hot minute.
I remember
that, too.
Let's
talk about that. We have picture proof of you wearing Steelers hats.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
So now you guys are both Eagles fans. You're obviously a Phillies fan then, yes.
Well, funny thing about that, my cousin was Javi Lopez, so I was a Braves fan my whole life.
Oh.
Yeah, so not a huge Phillies fan. Grew up in New York, hated the fucking Yankees. Any New York team, I thought.
Oh, no.
No, I just never liked any New York team. The Mets, to me, were hysterical because they're like the Jets. Like, they were always promising, but just always shit the bed. So just as I got older, again, like, I mostly love football. But baseball, I'd rather play it. Like, every time I watch, I'm like, I'd rather just go play. But what sucks is it's not like basketball where you're going to get like a pickup game going. You know, you get a couple of buddies together. Like, you need a lot of shit.
You got to get 18 guys. You got to get a ton of equipment. Yeah. I think. And hockey, yes or no?
No. I had a lot of friends into it.
Yeah.
In growing up in Jersey. You know, it's fun to go to.
Right.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's great to go to a game.
Great to go to a game. But watching it on TV, I never really got so into, like, I see icing. I'm like, wait, well, how was that icing again? Fuck.
Yeah,
like, I thought that guy was cool. So my brother-in-law's big into it.
Yeah.
And whenever I go over there, we'll play like PS4 and we'll play hockey.
Oh, yeah.
He'll just fucking demolish me. Or we'll play the same team and he will just berate me the entire. You're like worse than playing with the kids. You're how do you not know what you're doing?
One timer. Yeah, I think it's very different, obviously, on the East Coast from the West Coast. And
what do you guys have here in Southern California?
Well, you got the Kings and the Ducks.
Well, ducks,
the sharks
right.
are
well, they're north.
Up
yeah.
A, yeah, up a bunch.
So you have the ducks down here.
The ducks and the shark, and or the ducks and the kings.
And the kings.
And then you've got the angels and the Dodgers and the Padres.
That's a weird kind of, like, okay, the Padres I get, that's San Diego, but like the Dodgers Angels thing, what's that about?
Well, the Angels are just, I mean, I'm a Red Sox fan, so
right.
And I most of my friends and my wife are huge Angels fans,
right? Tell them I loved Angels in the Outfield. Great movie.
Oh,
probably
it's
the
great.
Best season
yeah.
they had.
Yeah, that and what was the? It's one with
Major League.
Gosh, no, Jim Belushi. Jim
Belushi
is in jail. And he, I think, breaks out of jail because he's a huge Cubs fan.
Oh,
and they've made it to the World Series. And they are playing the Angels.
Wow. I don't know that one.
I can't remember what the name of it is.
Yeah, look it up on IMDb.
So anyways, the Angels are their front. I could go into a whole podcast episode on my feeling on the Angels.
You should start a sports podcast ripping the fucking Angels.
I would love
Angels.
To. They,
that's the best way to get enemies in this town.
Yeah.
Start ripping out sports and you have the radio guys going crazy.
Well, but the difference on East Coast and West Coast is they're really, I mean, the Dodgers have a history, though, that started in Brooklyn. They do have a history out here. The Lakers, who also moved from Minnesota,
do have
a history here.
Yeah.
That was their taking care of business. Yes.
I forgot about the baseball aspect of that. Yeah.
Yeah. The Lakers, that's why they have that name. Is the Lakers doesn't make sense out here, but it was the Minnesota Lakes.
Yeah.
The Angels, there's no history there.
Mm.
On the East Coast, you have sports teams that have a very rich
history. Yeah, from like the 20s history. And 30s. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And out here, you don't really get that. You don't.
Well,
you
this
know,
is also the, correct me if I'm wrong, this is also the people who started like the prefab homes, you know? So like, if you think about it, California is a lot of popped up nice stuff that just was just out of nowhere, came out of nowhere. And a lot of that could be the same thing with these teams.
Yeah. Well, and plus you have like the rotating NFL and we're now maybe going to get, we can't keep any teams here.
I thought you guys were getting the Rams.
But now we're getting possibly, I mean, they were talking about having three teams, and then it went down to two, and now it might just be the Rams.
It was supposed to be the Rams and the Chargers.
Rams, Chargers, and possibly Raiders.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and
coming back to LA.
The Vikings were in the mix at one point.
Ew.
The Raiders may now, one of their possible destinations is San Antonio. Like, it's crazy.
That's weird.
But we, it's a lot of pink hat.
Yeah.
Nation out here, basically.
Yeah.
You have that with sports. We have that somewhat in common.
Yeah.
Photography.
Yeah. Writing.
Which, okay.
Podcasting.
So photography.
Uh-huh.
We'll do some questions for you in that because
sure.
This is the way
Okay. So this is Fork in the Road?
Yes.
Okay. Go.
Okay. So if you could have a portrait session with any person alive, who would that person be?
Christopher Walken.
Oh yeah. So tell me about that. I mean, does that go back from
it's crazy?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
No. It's just, I mean, he to me is like the epitome of cool. You know, like he, and that's a guy that you always okay. So you think about a career, right? And you think if anyone could be good at anything for a day or a year, they're happy.
Yeah.
Well, if you can say you've been doing it and well for decades, I don't care who you are. It's fucking you got to tip your hat to that.
Yeah.
And especially if you can be the kind of person that, I mean, Christ, everyone has a Walken impression.
Yeah.
You know? Like
yeah.
And at the same time, he's so quirky that you just can't help but love him in anything he's in.
Yeah.
I know, I don't know him personally, but there's a photographer, a young guy actually, that that does amazing portrait work. I'll show you one he did of Walken that was so well done that anyone I show it to is like, yep, that's Christopher Walken.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you just, he's kind of like that lore of like Bill Murray, you know, where you hear stories about how, you know, he'll be dancing in someone's music video for no fucking reason.
Right.
Maybe crashing a wedding for whatever reason. And And you're just like, oh, Christopher, you know? But I don't know what it would be like, but I think he would be an interesting person that would be, because a lot of what we do, especially portrait photographers, is that we try and get our subject's personality to come out and play. And sounded weird. Come out and play. Come into play.
Yes.
Not come out and
let
play.
Let your personality come out and play.
Yeah. Come into play with your work, you know, and with the posing and the shots and that kind of stuff. So a lot of times with celebrities, it sucks to say they're so important and their time is so valuable that you're lucky if you have a minute.
Right.
You know, to have that rapport and take some pictures with them. I can imagine if I had a couple hours with Christopher Walken just doing all kinds of crazy shit, I think that'd be so cool.
Yeah. So, okay, continuing kind of along that thread.
Sure.
Who are or is a or the celebrities that you know how you kind of like see a person in movies and whatever and you hear whatever about them as a in their normal life or you see them on talk shows or whatever, who are the people that you think if they knew me or if we got to hang out for a couple hours, we would be instant best friends and I can see myself hanging out with these people.
I got this. Ready?
Okay.
All right. They're all actors, but I mean, I'm trying to think. Photographers. So I met, I don't know if you know Chase Jarvis.
Yeah.
So I've been following his work for not decades, but years, right?
Yeah.
And I always thought when I'd see his videos on YouTube and all this stuff, I'd be like, I feel like he'd be a pretty cool guy to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met him a couple years ago, when I won that contest for Creative Live,
right,
it was that and more. Mm-hmm. And we still talk, and he was on the podcast last year,
mm-hmm,
and I flew out to Seattle to see him, and it's still a lot of the same thing where he'll like you're just one of the guys,
right,
you know, and he is so down to earth. His family, I met like his mom and his aunt and all this stuff, and
uh-huh,
they're awesome. His wife Kate's great, and just he was one of those people that just genuinely like everyone around him is like cool, you know, like you can't hate any of them, and they're all very warm and inviting. But people I don't know that I always kind of grew up thinking that, mm-hmm, funny. Bruce Willis.
Uh-huh. Same. Yes.
Will Smith.
Bruce Willis, who in,
yeah,
side note,
yeah,
in one of his movies, The Kid, I think it was called,
uh-huh,
which you may not have seen it. It's not a typical Bruce Willis movie. I think it was a Disney movie, maybe.
Like in the late 80s, early 90s?
Late 90s.
Huh. Okay.
Maybe even early 2000s, where he, yeah, and he becomes like an adult or something. It's kind of like one of those Freaky Friday kind of things.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he is talking, he talks to his kid self a lot. And at one point in the movie, he talks to his kid self and he's talking about his best friend in such and such grade. I can't remember what grade it was.
Right.
And his best friend named Tim Wheaton. No lie. So random.
So
and I was in the theater when that happened and I was like,
yeah,
oh my God, I'm best friends with Bruce Willis. I knew that was going to happen. And it's in film forever.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Okay, sorry. So I derailed you. Bruce Willis.
No, Bruce Willis. And funny side note on Bruce Willis, when they were filming The Sixth Sense in Philadelphia, my brother lived there and he's supposedly a big hockey fan. And someone like a PA knocked on my brother's door and said, listen, we're filming on the street. Can Mr. Willis come in and, you know, watch a couple of Blackhawks or something,
uh-huh,
and watch the game? And my brother was like, sure, you know, and he's like, but you can't, don't speak to him, don't whatever. Like he was just like literally fucking using your couch and your TV for a couple minutes. And my brother was like, fuck that. Like you're going to my house. I'm going to talk to you. And he goes, he was really cool. He's a fun guy, really nice guy.
Huh.
This is like way back when,
right,
fucking camera phones and shit. But, you know, he said he was really nice. So I thought that's pretty neat, you know? And, Bruce Willis is one.
So if you're listening to this, Bruce.
Yeah. I would love to get him on the
ready
show, right?
To be friends with you. He's a creative he's a dad.
And he supposedly likes firearms, which is good.
Oh, there you go.
Shooting.
I've been a fan of his since, well, you're too young for this.
How old are you? You're like 37.
I'm 93. This podcast is brought to you by Oil of Olay. No, I'm 42.
A lot of fish oil, huh? Yeah.
42.
Okay.
But I watched Moonlighting, which was one of his kind of first things. I watched that show religiously and wanted to be David Addison. Wow, that was amazing that I pulled that out, because I probably...
the old archives.
I can't tell you people's names that I just talked to, but...
you were really invested in that character. Yeah.
I almost learned to play the harmonica because he could play it. And I had his tape. He had an album.
Yeah, he's a musician.
Oh, okay. Bruce, so I'm not a stalker, but I'm ready to record at any location with any amount of security that you deem necessary. Okay, sorry. So enough
Bruce Willis. Snipers on the rooftop.
Yeah, seriously.
Guy's named Tiny. Like you said, he's just one of those guys where whether it's characters he plays or the way he's portrayed in the media or whatever, you just be like, he's a pretty down to earth kind of guy that would be fun to hang out with. Bruce Willis, Will Smith, all the same reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, I was also born in West Philadelphia, you know, all that kind of stuff.
There
right?
you go.
Tom Hardy, you know, just think he could be one. Oh, I know.
Jessica's
I know.
Making oh, you say that.
No, but she's not.
Don't you want to hang out with Tom Hardy? Because,
Yeah. You're not coming. So, yeah. But same thing. You know, kind of guy. I saw these fucking pictures of his MySpace page. So this is back when he was a fucking drug addict.
Yeah.
And he was like way off his fucking rocker.
Uh-huh.
And he was real skinny. And he has all these like really funny pictures where he just didn't give a shit about what people would think.
Yeah.
And it's fucking comedy gold. If you haven't seen this, just look it up.
I'll have to look that up.
Look up Tom Hardy MySpace page. It's absolutely fucking hysterical.
Amazing.
And you know, the internet, nothing ever dies.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess those would be three actors, right?
Doesn't have to be just three, but
right. No, I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to think of more people.
Sports,
music. I feel like me and Macklemore could hang out. Saying
he just played at, I don't know how this went down,
yeah,
but there was some kind of contest for him to play at a high school, and it was the high school that's literally like 2 minutes a walk away from my house.
Nice.
And the parents like tried to get it shut down.
Really?
Yeah, the parents were like super aggro against it happening, and
that's fucking stupid.
They had to go through this whole battle with the parents and the school and blah blah blah.
But that's so dumb.
I think it happened maybe a few months ago. I can't remember.
Wow. Musicians, that's a tough one. See, I really like music, but I was never one that like followed like one thing religiously to the point where, you know, I'd follow them around the country and go to shows and stuff. It's a tough one. I feel like me and Adele can hang out. We can have fun. Yeah. She's funny.
She seems very funny.
Yeah, she seems fun. I think that's pretty much it.
Sports.
I met a lot of really cool guys in the 90s, and a lot of them were dicks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tom Glavin's a dick.
Really?
Yeah. John Schmaltz,
Tom Glavin seems like he would be. Smoltz? Yeah, I could see. Smoltz I think of as just a cold guy.
His mustache alone would just tell you to fuck off, right?
Yeah.
I met Deion Sanders. He was hysterical. Wasted, but really funny.
Yeah.
Have
you ever done any concert work?
No. You know why? We talk about like how much I like music, but I never follow anyone. So I have this thing, and I don't think it's really gone away. I just maybe gotten better at it. That in high school, I would never go to lunch for like 2.5 years because and you walk in the cafeteria and to sit in the back, while the upperclassmen or my friends or the seniors, or whatever, would sit way in the back. So you'd have to walk through this whole, you know, the entire crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always get like that hot, like your ears turn red and that hot on your neck. And anytime anyone laughed, I'd like shoot them a look and they were laughing at me and like social anxiety. And it was so bad that I just stopped going to lunch. I would just wander around the fucking hallways and walk into class and go through lockers. No, I was dumb.
Yeah.
And that was when I started getting in trouble but dumb shit. And people go, "You're not dumb. What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I can't go there. You don't understand." And I went to a Catholic school, so you couldn't, this whole thing like, you know, going out to lunch, no one fucking allowed you to leave campus. So.
Right.
But because of that, same thing, concerts, oof, just being surrounded by a ton of fucking strangers rubbing up on me.
Oh, okay. So I you do like not that. Do concerts.
I don't. Oh, and it sucks because I really want to.
Right.
But no.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
So what may allow you, I mean, not that I'm going to convert you, but if you were to ever shoot a concert,
right,
you're potentially in the pit and separated right. from all the people.
You are, but you still got to like be there. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like
they're separated from a fence, but it's basically you're in The Walking Dead. People are like still reaching around you trying to.
Yeah. No. And so like I do, I've done the rock and roll marathon a couple of years and there's always a concert. And some years I got some big fucking big old names, right? Like, you know, like they had the Cranberries one time. Like, yeah, I was like, shit. But it, you know, so it's that. And it's like people who then are drinking after they ran a marathon. And then you know, it's usually around Halloween. So there are people in costume and there's a lot of that, you know, like a lot of people going, hey, take my picture. And I'm like, I'm used to it from shooting clubs and stuff in college, but after college, but, it's just something about it. You know?
How did you deal with WPPI in Vegas?
So it would be a lot of like that isn't
because
so,
it's
yeah.
not a horde. That's it's a pretty yes. pretty right. liquid
right. Like yeah. So like that aspect is fine.
Around. Yeah,
but like PPE, that was fucking hard.
Yeah,
because that was like mob.
Yeah, yeah.
And that one's even bigger in New York at the Javits Center, and it's not like at WPPI, it's all working professionals.
Mm-hmm.
At PPE, it's just everyone who likes electronics. It's almost like CES, you know? Yeah. So it was a lot of that. And so that when I told you like it was very overwhelming, that was that aspect. So like we would go to the thing and it's funny, people hear this about me and they don't believe me because I'll talk to anyone. I'm a fucking plant.
Yeah.
But talking to them is one thing and being in a room full of strangers who are near me is different.
Right.
So it was not easy.
Yeah.
And so what we would do is we'd go on the floor, we'd meet people, we'd go downstairs to the cafeteria and we'd record. So that was that like break. It was like, you know, so it was that break. And then what sucked was, funny story, I'll tell it real quick, was, we'd have to go to all these after parties and I didn't want to go, but I knew that was where all the networking, like the fucking Hollywood parties, right? You had to go.
Yeah.
So we went to one, it was at some tiny fucking studio. I didn't know, in Chelsea somewhere, I think. And it, you know, it's like a club, you know, it's fucking 200 people there. It's sweaty. It's 1,000 fucking degrees.
Yeah.
I'm way not into it. And I like walked in talking to people. Hey, finally meeting that person, I've known him for a while, finally seeing that person, great. I'm sweating my balls off because I'm always fucking hot and this isn't helping.
Yeah.
And then I go outside, and I'm outside in the hall, but the good thing was, the way it was situated was, there was a window there, so I opened it up, and the elevator was there. So anyone who walked in, you could at least like be friendly and see them.
Right.
So I'm out there with my buddy Jaleel, and Jaleel's in a wheelchair. So he's like, anyone who goes by, he knows everyone's the mayor. They have to like, you know, bend down, give him a hug, say hi. So like you can always have like, you can see who they are, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm standing there and I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to go. And then I see like, you know, Lara Jade walk in and Felix Coons and all these like young people who are really killing it. And then I'm like, I'm going to go say goodbye to my buddy. So I go inside and I'm telling my buddy Zach Sutton, who's a photographer, just moved out here to LA.
Yeah.
And he was one of the first people we had on that morning. So I tell him, listen, man, I want to thank you for being on the show today. It was really great. And I'm going to get out of here though. So I'm going to see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it was not like, you know, not a big deal.
Yeah.
He goes, dude, you're not leaving. I'm like, dude, I like, come on,
please,
man.
Please let me
like,
go.
Like, I got to go. Yeah. You don't understand the fucking train. The last train out of the city is about to leave.
Yeah.
I got to go. We had to run to fucking Midtown. And he's like, dude, you're not fucking leaving. And now I'm like getting kind of pissed.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, dude, I'm not like mad. I'm not upset. I'm not having fun. Well, I'm not having fun. But I was like, I just have to fucking leave. I'm going to see you tomorrow. Like, what's the big deal? And he goes, dude, you're not leaving. And I go, and I finally just fucking snap. And I go, dude, unless you're going to fucking pay for my $100 cab ride home, I got to fucking go.
Yeah.
Right? So he literally pulls out his wallet, pulls out a $100 bill, puts it in my hand, and goes, now that we've had that conversation, enjoy the fucking party.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
okay.
That was the most baller, boss, yeah. awesome, yeah. supportive, whatever thing I've ever seen. And I'm not a very religious person, but I think there's always times where when someone does something and it's like kind of profound, like mm-hmm. things start like all the noise starts kind of diving, you know, falling away. So he puts his hand on my shoulder. He's very tall. Yeah. If you see him, you'd never think he's this tall. He's like 6'4". And he puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, dude, this is where you want to be. Trust me. I'm like, okay, all right, fuck, yeah, I'm going to, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I go outside back in the hall and I'm sitting there. And sure enough, not more than 2 minutes later, I see someone walk by the corner of my eye. I'm talking to someone, some dude's talking to me. And I see someone bend down, talk to Jaleel, turn around, walk away. And Stevie is, you know, my co-host started hitting me.
Yeah.
Dude, it's fucking Chase Jarvis. I was like, oh shit. I had not seen him for 2 years since I went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in my head, you know how we all do it, right? I'm like, fuck, I should go say hi. But right. I sent him so much shit, he never like replied. Yeah. I might be fucking annoying him.
Yeah.
I was even going to interview him for my, for the company Zero I started for that blog. And he agreed to do it. I sent him the questions and never heard back for like 6 months. So I'm like, fuck. But at the same time, he's always so nice. He's just so busy. You can't get mad, right?
Right. Kind of thing.
So I'm in my head. I'm like, I gotta go talk to him. Oh, I'm not gonna go fucking talk to him. And then I go inside and I see Kenna Klosterman, who is a longtime Creative Live employee. And I know and like, so I'm like, all right, cool. Kenna, we're talking about bullshit. And all right, Kenna, I'm so glad to see you. Sweet. Now I can relax and have fun.
Yeah.
You gotta help me out here. And she's like, sure. What's up? I go, Chase is over there. He's already mobbed. He's literally standing behind the bar.
Yeah.
I can pick up people's vibes. He's trying to tell everyone to fucking leave him alone.
Yeah, yeah. He's in a corner.
Yeah. So like, can you just like say hi and help me out here? She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, come on. Yeah. All right, fine. So we start walking over there and halfway she stops. And I go, Ken, what the fuck are you doing? Just fucking go. And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. I'm like a kid. I'm like 13 years old to fucking dance.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, shit. So I walk up to him and luckily he's like just wrapping up with someone. I go, hey, what's going on, man? He goes, yo, gives me a big hug. We're chatting. And it was a similar thing happened where I'm sitting there bullshitting with him. Yada, yada, yada. Me and him and Stevie are talking. And then I say, so listen, I started this thing and you'd be great. And I'm like stumbling it out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, dude, just fucking stop. Just stop. He goes, I'm in. Dude, I'm in. Just reach out to so-and-so and let them know I told you it's okay and we'll get on the books, you know? So it's cool. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, holy shit. And then all of a sudden this drunk girl comes stumbling over. Oh my God, Chase!
Yeah.
Right? And luckily Stevie sees what's going on and goes, intercepts, right? I'm like, awesome. God.
Yeah.
So then I'm like trying to say something again. And again, the whole hand on the shoulder thing, Chase puts his hand on my shoulder and goes, listen, I wanted to let you know, I read the article you sent me. And the one I sent him, the last one was the one about Jaleel, about depression. So he goes, I wanted to let you know I read it. I'm really sorry I haven't written back. Just been so fucking busy. You know, he's like, but it was really good. You know, you got to keep writing that kind of stuff. It was really good. And, you know, more people got to talk about it. And I was like, oh, you know, and this is after, you know, like we talked about an emotional roller coaster of days where we're up at fucking 7 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
Running around talking to everyone during the day. Getting introduced to bigger and bigger people, pitching the show to manufacturers, and then going to these parties at night. I maybe ate like two things all day, you know? And so it was like draining, you know? And we go outside later and I realized like all this happened, of course, right after I would have left, you know?
So
there's all that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I bumped into a lot more serendipitous people as well. But when we leave, we're standing outside and he's waiting for his Uber and I'm waiting for our Uber and I literally show him the $100 bill and tell him the story and he's like, dude, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
He's like, that dude's a stand-up guy. And I even posted a picture of our shows. I even posted a picture on Facebook writing this whole long thing. You know? And funny thing, Zach, same thing like you and Jess, I knew Zach from Flickr.
Oh, really?
And we knew each other at this point probably for, 8 years?
Yeah.
Just met last year in person.
No way.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that. Funny. There was a lot of that too. Yeah. You know, where it was like we were friends, we would talk, and then, but we never really went deep on each other. And then all of a sudden, like I finally meet him and he gives me $100 bill and tells me I got to fucking stay.
Right.
And I was like, that's wow.
You know, a little bit of a game changer.
Yeah. Like I can tell your friends I've known for 20 years and won't give me fucking $100 to fucking still hang out. Yeah. You know? But he totally got it. You know, he told me the story of like his friends who he'd bring to these things and they would get overwhelmed too. And they just like want to go back to the hotel and defrag. And he's like, no.
And miss out on stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I see those guys now at WPPI who are up till 5 a.m. That's not me. I'll hang out till 1.
Yeah.
Get all my networking in and then, you know, be alive the next day.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well,
I gave you enough for like 8 episodes.
Seriously, I think it may just be 2 full episodes instead of a fork. Well, who knows? Once I edit out all that stuff that you guys are not getting to hear, which
the unreleased tapes, maybe like in 10 years.
Yeah, there'll be a B-side to this one. We put it on vinyl.
Yeah, there
for
you
record day, for podcast record day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me
crash your
Santa Monica party.
Oh yeah, it's fucking wild, right? Yeah. Look at Jess passed out in the bed, drooling on herself. Yeah, it's crazy.
Should we give all your tags again or make people go back to the first episode?
No, yeah, it's fine. On my photography stuff, all my shit's easy. It's Jose Rosado. So JoseRosado photo. So it's all that. JoseRosadoPhoto.com, JoseRosadoPhoto on Instagram, JoseRosadoPhoto on Twitter, JoseRosadoPhoto on Snapchat, and Instagram or Facebook is JoseRosadoPhotography. Mm-hmm. Again, keeping it classy.
Yes, very classy.
And then for my podcast, it's called The Angry Millennial Show. So if you go to theangrymillennialshow.com, you can check out the site there. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all that happy horse shit. And then that one is Angry Millennial Show on Instagram, Millennial Angry on Twitter, and I think it's Angry Millennial on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I covered all of them, right?
And then Sad Creatives on.
Yes. And then there's Sad Creatives. So it's creativesagainstdepression.com on Twitter. It's Sad Creatives. So that one's only got Twitter and the site.
Right.
But that one definitely
so far. It only
yeah, so that. Far. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So look up Jose. He's got a ton of awesome stuff.
Ton of spinning out plates.
There. He is. He's spinning plates as we're sitting here. Thank goodness that this trip came about.
No, and like we know, another person I've known for years and I'm finally getting to meet in person. And these things, as I'm sure you'll notice, and already if you don't already, dude, it's so much fun.
Yeah,
you know, getting to sit with people and interview them, and just shoot the shit over microphones. It's been great lately. I've been doing a lot more on this side, which is fun, because I'm usually the one interviewing people, and it's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, so I'll do your
mm-hmm.
last question.
Okay.
Who would you want to hear on this podcast, whether it's somebody that you know or don't know. Right. And I know the first answer obviously is Bruce Willis. I mean, don't we all?
Yeah. He's a cool dad. He's seen some shit and he had to deal with some young guy running in after he left.
Yeah.
That must have been tough.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I can get my dad to do it, I think that would be really cool.
I like that idea.
Because and Jess will attest to this, he's the kind of guy that he is rather conservative.
Mm-hmm.
However, if he knows you and he likes you, dude, it's like he's the loudest one. He's drinking Johnny. He's mm-hmm. giving a cigar. Mm-hmm. You know, he's dancing everywhere. And I think for him, like hearing him kind of hopefully open up and talk about, you know, his father and his relationship.
Yeah.
I think would be pretty cool.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, my thanks again goes to Jose for making the time for me to be able to sit down and record with him during his little 2-day window that he had in Santa Monica. That was pretty cool to be able to go up and sit down with him and be able to record very late into the night. And that's why they're kind of not the greatest segues into and out of the episodes. I apologize for that. It's basically, you know, we just kind of were talking straight through for a few hours and didn't really think about the production value of segueing in and out. So I apologize. Kind of jumpy, not the greatest thing. Don't judge me too much, especially since it's Jose and he has such a great podcast. And sorry. So anyway, thank you very much for participating and listening in on these episodes. It was really fun to sit down with him, and I hope that was entertaining and informational for you as well. And you can find, again, you can find daddyunscripted.com. We also are on Facebook under Daddy Unscripted and on Twitter under Daddy Unscripted. And then we also have the podcast that is available to you on Stitcher and also on iTunes. So it would be great if you could go to iTunes, subscribe, leave a review, give a rating. All of those things really help drive up the ability for other people to see the podcast, for it to become more recognizable, maybe even make it on the new and noteworthy so that we can get more people listening, which means some more guests and possibly being able to get some of those people that we're really looking to get. I'm not going to say any celebrities' names here. I think I've done that enough. You guys know who you are that need to be on. So if you are able to do take a couple minutes out of your time and be able to do that for the podcast, that would be great. I really appreciate it. Thanks again for listening, and hope you enjoy the next episode after this one as much as you enjoyed this one.